Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. As you may know, I've been recording Walnut Grovecast for nearly 4 years, and as we approach our 100th episode, I just wanted to thank the people who continue to support this show. I received a package of new stickers in the mail today, and we'll get them out by the end of the week. This is absolutely the corniest of stickers, so be prepared. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Layer, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Aaron Wortman, Peyton England, Angela Bowen, Anne Quinn, Dottie Cashin, Stacy Keller, Gerald Lang, Matt Mercier, Dean Butler, Ginny Comer, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV Podcast, Don Roberts, Samantha Larson-Randall, and Max Duration. Thank you again for your support, and I look forward to making many, many more episodes. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you live in 1863.
Part one, we left off. The family is in Winoka. Mary is at the blind school with Adam. Albert is just a little scamp. Ma is overworked, and Charles is just complaining about it all. But we are in the loud, busy town of Winoka.
And that's how you get service when you're at the hotel. Yeah, a lot of stuff happened, and a lot of people, I bet, are really uncomfortable at this point. They're like, what is going on? Where is my little house that is in the title? And now it's now it's a little hotel room in the city. Spinoff.
I love that.
Update. So we have Mary. She's 16 years old. She's teaching.
Sitting on the desk. All cool.
I don't know if it's cool. Does she pull it off?
No.
She does. She looks so uncomfortable. Right?
It's so not Mary. It's really weird. It's like she's trying to be cool, but she's not cool. And that's why we love her.
But you know what else? Nobody can see her. So it's her idea of what cool would look like.
Interesting.
And it's kind of like a dad trying to be cool, I guess.
Yeah, it's like when the teacher comes over and spins the chair around and sits backwards and is like, hey, kids, let's rap.
Let's rap. So funny.
But people can see her because Ma and Laura and Mrs. Garvey and Andy are there watching.
Get a bell for the door. A little ding, ding, ding. Oh, somebody's at the door. Could be a criminal.
Seriously.
Could be somebody who's going to take over the blind school and kidnap us.
Yeah, we're in the city now, Mary Ingalls. This is not the country.
Leave the store unlocked at all times.
All right. We know that Leonardo da Vinci painted the Last Supper. Now, who were the guests of Jesus?
Is it important to teach blind children about art is the question.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that.
It's just not important to have a visual representation to any of this.
I guess that's true, but, I mean, they're going to be functioning members of society. Somebody will probably reference The Last Supper, and they'll at least know what it is.
Oh, come on, Kim. No. But it's just weird. Like, art history in the blind school?
Yeah.
And how it relates to the Bible? Interesting. Let's hear what other kind of nonsense she's teaching. That's not part of the curriculum, Mary.
Peter and John.
Right, Sue. 10 more to go.
10 more? That'll be useful. All right, I'm sorry. I'm being mean now. I'm very mean to Mary. This is your favorite Mary. This is your favorite version of Mary.
This is, and this is my favorite Mary episode. I actually think when Mary goes blind, Melissa Sue Anderson was just waiting for it. Like, she turned up the acting chops. We get some real tears coming out of her eyes, which, not to be mean, but we never have seen before coming out of Mary's eyes. Like, she is killing it. And I love how confident she is now that she's blind. It's like, oh, God, she's a different person.
I'll be the first one to say. When the Mary episodes, when she first loses her vision, are to me some of the most dramatic and probably the crux of the entire series. You know, the tragedy of this this sweet girl losing her vision and then kind of having a nervous breakdown about it, and then embracing it and becoming a teacher. So I'm crapping on her only because it's Melissa Sue Anderson.
Yeah, and it's a comedy podcast, so you got to.
Yeah. Melissa Sue Anderson, if you're listening to this, you're really bored, and you shouldn't be listening to this. You should be returning my emails and not ignoring me because you're scared to come on and be interviewed. You chicken. All right, no. So here we go. We have a discussion about the education that's going on. Meanwhile, blind school's learning about Da Vinci. The city kids, they're not learning much more than how to yell fire and pick up the scraps.
What a shame. No school.
Not funny, Andrew.
No, ma'am.
Well, we'll just have to teach at home. We've both done it before.
Well, what bothers me is the rest of the children in town. There must be some poor folks who'd like to have their children get an education. Parents who can't read and write themselves.
Well, apparently the town council doesn't care.
Well, we do. There must be something we can do.
Throw the blind school out and take it over.
Yeah, so there's only a private school in town and the blind school, but there is no public school. And actually, we do learn one more quick piece of information that on Monday, is going to be Mary's birthday. And so Ma was like, telling Adam on the DL, like, bring her over. Don't let her know. It's a surprise party.
You don't need to decorate. No. I'm being so mean. All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's very sweet, too, I think. You know, the family is kind of trying to find some level of being normal within all the chaos. And I like the fact that they do find these little things. We still get, in this episode, really, more than part one, we get moments of Pa being Pa. You know, we have people trying to find who they are within the chaos of the city, which I think is sweet. So, yeah, the school, they're thinking about starting their own school, which, you know what, I have to applaud that, I think.
Yeah.
What better idea? If you have a problem and no one has a solution, come up with your own solution.
And Alice is a teacher.
Yeah. Well, they're both teachers, sense. Right?
Yeah, but Ma's busy slopping up grub.
She's, And there's another trophy on the wall in the next shot. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
This is in the restaurant, and our favorite handsome fellow is in the background.
Yeah, Harlan and Mr. Standish.
He is very charming. Very charming.
Ma'am, great order.
Now, this is creepy to me. Just this one line. I wonder if you find this particular one line creepy when he says, "This is the pretty woman that I was talking to you about." Like, what are you doing talking about my wife? Like, it's such a violation. It really, it's just, I don't know. Maybe, and that makes me feel like maybe I'm crazy that I feel that way. But
no, it is a violation. It's so creepy. I used to be a waitress, and people, like, a lot of times, like, you belong to them because you're just a part of the fixture of the restaurant, right. So they could just treat you however they want to. I told you one time I was waitressing for Fish, the band Fish, and a roadie came over and grabbed my butt.
Oh, my God, they're disgusting.
I was so mad. Everyone is disgusting.
Nobody should listen to that terrible band just because of that. And they're awful. I hate them, but I hate that. I hate that story. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. But thankfully you learned, and I'm sure you knew it at the time, that not all men are like that, but a lot are. And it's the terrible world we live in.
Yeah, but Jack didn't go over and try and kick his butt either. But he wasn't home.
But I bet he would have.
I bet he would have.
Me too.
This is the pretty lady I told you about, Mr. Standish.
My pleasure, ma'am.
What do you have you think I might like?
You have your menu.
I know, but we're going to be eating here a lot.
I'll take this order.
The lady will take the order, Ingalls. That's her job. I noticed the windows out front. When's the last time you washed them?
This morning.
I want you to wash them again. Don't be in such a hurry next time.
Why are you standing there? You work for Mr. Standish. He gave you an order.
I like these guys, actually.
I give Karen Grassley like 10 out of 10 for this whole episode. She's amazing. She not only is having to deal with sexual harassment, all this job, all these kids, everything, but making a school for her kids, but she has to kind of temper Charles's hot-headedness the whole time. Like, she's worried about his mood every time. She's like, oh, something good happened today. And yeah. I don't know. Karen Grassley was in it to win it this episode. There's some improv scenes coming up next that I could tell that was just Karen Grassley, but it was amazing. And there's one point where Charles is just standing there like he's about to whoop some ass. And she just goes under her breath. She's just like, Charles, please. And Charles walks away. But it's like, oh, my God, you could feel the tension in that episode.
Yeah, she's a very, very intense actress. And even I don't know if she's still doing anything, but I think that's her stage experience kind of coming out, her intensity in her eyes. And, you know, it's like, whoa. And I also think that she's probably trying to convey, I can handle these idiots. Type of thing.
Yeah, I think so too. And just like, don't get us fired. We have money now. We have our kids a place to stay. Like, don't go kicking butt just because you can.
Right. This isn't a crop. You can't just like, you know, walk away. and if I might criticize Charles even a little bit more,
please.
If he has the time to come over whenever there's something bad going on, maybe he could be the waiter.
Yeah, maybe he could wash a dish.
Yeah. Why are you out here? Be in the kitchen flipping the eggs or whatever.
I got problems with Charles this episode. You guys know I love my pa, but oh my gosh, this episode, he really got under my skin.
And I almost threw up at the end when his face is swelling.
It was rugged.
Yeah, it was rugged.
Charles, please.
Now, is it possible Carolyn's falling for Harlan?
No.
All right. No. I'm reading the message wrong. All right.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's a chance in hell that's happening.
Well, you know, she's maybe I'm trying to move on with my life. Charles, please.
Oh, my God.
No. All right. I guess. Think so. I think
not the vibe I got.
All right. I read it wrong. That's my Little House on the Prairie fan fiction for you. So we get this really long scene where Charles is he's a beaten man because of this one comment, it seems.
He's
it's just
so complaining. And I think it is the straw that broke the camel's back. Look, it's not easy, but you are the one who wanted us to come here. Ma is putting on her best face. So she's like, look,
Ma's fine.
Yeah. Well, she's working double duty because she's trying to like lift him out of his funk. And she's like, we need the money. And he's like, am I supposed to like it being humiliated in front of my wife? So he goes to jump up to like slam the window shut. He's like, I can't even think around here. And she flinches so hard, like he's gonna hit her. It's crazy.
I'm just gonna play it so that I can see what you mean, because I did that really was something I missed.
And while you're watching it, okay, he pushes the table when he jumps up and spills his coffee, and she's just like, oh, and she's like trying to sop up the coffee that spilled and stuff. So I think she's really like in the Ma character, because that's what Ma would do.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, just stuff to watch.
How's a man supposed to get any thinking done with that noise going on?
Now, that's also a voiceover. You know, like that's something recorded at the end. And you see his chair kind of tilt back. It probably made one of those sounds. yeah, you're right. And she just... Yeah, she's in the Ma character, I think, 100%. But this is also a different... It's not really Ma at this point. It's the Caroline character, where this is her, you know, the wife. This is the partner character.
Yeah, and, exactly. I couldn't have put it in better words. That's why there's a Charles and there's a Pa and there's a Caroline and there's a Ma. I totally agree.
And Caroline doesn't lose it in this episode once.
No, she should, though.
She almost did. But they go on and on, like, woe is me. We have, you know, the equivalent of $1,200 in the bank.
She's like, I got some good news for you. We found a school for the kids that's going to be in a barn. And he goes, oh, am I supposed to like that my kids are going to school in a barn? It's like, oh, my God.
Right.
Like, she's trying so hard to cheer you up because you have a dark storm cloud over this whole room right now.
It's like, listen, and, Dick.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing to help this situation, Charles?
Yeah. Go find the bloody baiters that are killing everybody if you're so bored. If you want to do something great with your life. All right. So we are at the hotel lobby. I feel all of a sudden it's an episode of Newhart. I don't know if you've ever watched Newhart.
I know we've talked about it, where they have a B&B.
And that's kind of what this feels like a little bit. And, because you know, people just kind of live in there and they're moving around. And apparently Laura's mind, you know, the only person in the front of the place, she's security, I guess.
Yeah, she is. And Albert just kind of moseys on in.
Yeah. And so she sees him taking some of the money.
And the newspapers.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I missed the newspapers. But yeah, I remember him yelling. People just walking by like, oh, are you struggling? I'm kind of busy right now. I have to go buy manure.
He's got some money, too.
All right, let me have it. Come on. Got yourself a little bit of trouble, didn't you, son?
I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything. Suppose you explain to me how you got my newspapers and my money.
Oh, I was just buying a newspaper. I was counting the money to see if he had changed for a 50-cent piece that my pa gave me.
Laura's arms are folded, and she's like, you are so full of crap.
I know.
And, well, that's when What's-Her-Face yelling scared me.
I see. Well, suppose you show What's-Her-Face and me that 50-cent piece you want to make change for.
Yeah. What's wrong? Oh, no.
What's the matter?
I must have dropped it.
This kid is such a hustler, it's not even funny. You know, he probably has like 80 bucks on him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's the richest guy in that town.
Living under the... well, spoiler.
Oh, my pa's going to skin me alive.
So he goes and tells this really long tale about how his father has measles, was it?
Yeah, I think measles, and he's in quarantine.
Oh, my God. And Laura's just like looking at Pa like, I don't even tell stories this crazy.
And he's like, yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah, like, have you ever heard anyone say such a tall tale? It's like, yeah, you.
Thanks, I love it.
Pa.
I love when Pa kind of, like, flicks her little crap. Like, he does it a few times. When there's one episode where she's taking a bath, and he just comes up to her out of nowhere, and he's like, hey, those things on the side of your head or ears, make sure you wash them. She's just like, oh.
By the way, what was Pa doing at this point?
Oh, God. Handyman work is the only thing I could think of. Or maybe he was using the indoor outhouse in the back of the building.
There's no sweat on his head. He probably had one of those newspapers. He's probably hanging on the outhouse again.
Probably.
Reading, you know, reading Harriet's Happenings or something. See if she published my letter. And it's just, they should have had him doing more, even carrying some tools or something.
Something.
But yeah, I mean... he's not watching the front door. He's he's dealing with Albert and then letting him go. Meanwhile, Carolyn's in there, like, fighting off, like, God knows who. Crazy, crazy stuff going on this episode.
Yeah.
Charles is really needs to pull it together. So there's a church, thankfully, in this place.
This godless town.
And a lot of people seem to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little conversation, about. Another thing is these scenes are really long. Like, they really draw it out. So, being that my times are not totally accurate, I'll just keep trying my best. Sorry. A lot of dead air.
Mrs. Olson.
Yes.
Will Nellie really be starting tomorrow?
Starting what?
School. Alice made the announcement.
Oh, Mrs. Ingalls, I have no intention of letting my children go to school in a barn.
Well, Harriet, the children need education.
They are going to go to school, Nels. The Winoka School.
The what?
You heard me. Thank you anyway, Mrs. Ingalls.
She just dismisses her like oh my God.
I know. Like, oh, isn't that cute? But I live for Nellie's outfits during this era. Like, whoever is in wardrobe was able to get her more teenager-y outfits.
Mm-hmm.
So she definitely doesn't look like a little girl anymore versus, like, Mary and Laura are pretty much wearing the same thing.
Yeah, with pigtails, and the whole setup is very, very adolescent.
Exactly. And Nellie's got this like a little bit of arm showing with like a 3/4 length sleeve, beautiful, vibrant gown. And I know they're richer, but I'm just saying like it's nice to see her looking a little more grown up.
And even Willie's dressed just like his father.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He always has those like really awesome little suits.
Yeah, exactly. Adorable. And he's so tiny.
But yeah, you're right. Nellie just she really has that. The perfect posture and the snooty turned up nose, you know, everything mm-hmm. really kind of falls in place with her outfits. Mm-hmm. And she looks like she's wearing some type of really, really heavy skirt.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh wow. I cannot imagine how warm all of these people.
Mm-hmm. Of course I do.
Well, then you realize we can't afford it.
Nails, not in front of the children.
What difference does it make where I say it? It's the truth.
Nellie and Willie, we'll see you in the room.
Now, this is where I do agree with her. You don't talk about finances in front of children, for the most part.
It's not there. It's nothing that they have control over, so you can't put that worry on them.
Unless you're making fun of what other people don't have. No, I'm kidding. No, but it's one of those things where this is a big change for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Have this conversation like Mom and Pa would over coffee in front of blind people.
Especially how dark it gets, this conversation in particular. You don't want the kids around.
One of my favorite lines in the whole thing.
I felt unsafe.
And it kept going.
Yeah.
It didn't just go, oh, okay. It really went.
You don't have to argue about school. We don't have to go to one.
To the room.
Yes, ma'am.
To the room.
How dare you make those children think that we're poor.
Harriet, we're not going to starve, but we're not rich.
Well, the children are used to being rich.
Well, they're going to have to get used to being not so rich.
Oh, well, if you loved them, you would send them to the school.
Well, I've got a life insurance policy. If I killed myself, then you'd have enough money to enroll them in the private school.
Nails, would you do that for us?
Oof.
Of course not.
I should have known. For one moment there, I felt so close to you.
That is very cold. That is.
Yeah. It's like, this isn't fun anymore, guys. Like, this is not the Bickersons, you know? It's not just that. This is like an abusive relationship
right
now.
Maybe it's time to go back to Walnut Grove and just kind of be poor.
Oof, yeah. Yeah, that was not fun.
But typical also, though.
Oh, yeah, very Harriet. But she turns around and sees that they are hiring barmaids at the saloon. And she's like, oh, I got an idea.
Oh, my God.
So she kind of like tarts herself up, lowers the shirt and makeup and all that kind of stuff just to sexy herself up.
Her blouse is definitely more low cut than what we would normally see Harriet wearing.
Oh, yeah. No, she's like, I got to make some tips to put my kids into private school.
Right. And you know what? I applaud this version of Harriet where she's like, you know what? I'm not going. I'll put my money where my mouth is. And
yeah, she's working.
Yeah. But of course, Nellie has something to say about this.
Yelling in front of the children.
Oh, what's the use?
By the way, their room is just as good or bad as any of the other rooms that we've seen.
Yeah, but it's in the saloon, so they have that, whatever the Ingalls have, times 10.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, with noise and everything.
Yeah. I want to find one of these clear lanterns. Do they still make them new that you know of?
I don't know. I know that they make them new, the one like Albert got, but I don't know about these ones.
Yeah, I have one of those, and you can even like adapt it to like be a little bit more modern.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses something called white gas, I think. And but these, you know, these are like those regular, you know, I'm going to burn the whole barn down type of lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
Without the metal casing.
Mother, maybe Father's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you said how embarrassing it must be for Mrs. Ingalls, being a waitress.
This is pretty cold. Like, you know, it's just one of those things where you're really kind of, you know, crap talking her behind her back and stuff. But that's the Olsen way.
And exactly.
It's the Ingalls way, too, we've learned.
True.
Maybe not as brutal, but still somewhat brutal.
I'm not a waitress. Heavens, waitresses serve food.
Yeah, Ma just serves whiskey.
Yes.
Well, Reverend Alden always said whiskey was the drink of the devil.
Oh, Nellie, that's nonsense. Even Dr. Baker prescribed alcohol for some of his patients.
There sure is a lot of sick people downstairs.
I have to go to work now, and I want the lights out at 9 o'clock, sharp.
Yes, Mother. I guess we're going to have to tell the kids at school that Ma's a nurse.
Great line.
Oh, Willie.
But, you know, Harriet has the, choker on. She's got the whole look, kind of down. She's like a modern 1878 woman.
I know. It was kind of sad because she's only trying to do it to, like, put her kids to school. Like, it really is sad. But watching her, like lift up her bosom and put the choker on and, like, she's, like, touching up her eyes and stuff. It's like, oh, this is so sad, but good on you.
She's not used to being criticized by such lower class people.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to work. And by the way, one of the things I love about Nellie, and I think that it kind of vanishes throughout the season, is her talking like this, like her breathy whininess. But it's so funny to listen to. Like,
yeah,
it's very
Willie's
musical.
Got the same thing.
She what did you say?
Oh, I said Willie's got the same exact thing.
Yes, like the yelling at a low volume or something.
Exactly, exactly.
So Harriet's going to get a little tip about what it takes to get a tip.
Mm-hmm. Harriet, show her what to do.
You bet. You just watch me for a few minutes, sweet.
Now, this is their beers in front of them. These are not accurate representations of what 1877 beers would look like, 1878. Oh. No, they would be a lot darker and cloudier. They did not have good filterization back then, unless you were talking about spirits.
Huh.
And the head that's on those things, come on.
Too modern.
They're drinking far too much alcohol in this town to have a decent carbonation happening.
Interesting.
And even just keeping it cold. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
And you catch on right away. You see, most of the money's made from tips. So the better you look, the more the tips. If you don't mind my saying so, you could sure use a little makeup on those crow's feet of yours.
I beg your pardon. These are not crow's feet.
Really?
Yes, really. They're laugh lines.
Honey, nothing's that funny.
Eek.
Blam.
And it's just, I feel bad for Harriet here.
I do, too. She's our Harriet. She's a monster, but she's our monster.
We have one little moment where Ma's brushing her hair, like almost like Gil Gerard's in a room. And
and you see the shepherdess.
Oh, that's right. That's funny. But she's brushing her hair. We have a little bit of a moment that kind of reminds us back in the time of being in the little house, even. It's not quiet, but it's a little bit tamer. But what are they talking about? I kind of
forgot. We're all excited for Mary's birthday. So Ma says that Laura wrote Mary a card in Braille because Adam lent her a Braille writer. And Pa says, like, we need to get Mary a present. Her birthday's coming up. So Ma says she has $1 saved in tips. And Pa's like, I'll go to Standish for the rest. But here's what I want for my birthday.
Right. He also makes the jab, like, you're not going to get a lot for $1 in the city.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, I want the biggest pair of earmuffs you ever seen. Which I get it. It's a joke. But, like, nobody asked. And just because you're laughing doesn't mean you're not still complaining.
Yeah. It's like, calm it down, Charles. Like, we get it. It's loud. You know?
For real.
Charles goes, Standish is his name? I keep, mm-hmm. All right. He goes to him and he's like, well, you know what? We've been working here and, you know, I am Charles Ingalls. You might have heard of me.
Yeah. Money, please.
Yeah.
Ingalls, what is it?
Well, I know I'm supposed to be paid every other week, but today's my daughter's 16th birthday, and...
You're supposed to be paid every other week, and that's when you'll be paid.
Well, we've already worked a week. I'm not asking for a full wage. I just want enough money to be able to...
I've already answered you. Now let me finish what I'm doing.
Counting money. I don't know. I'm kind of on the side of the employer at this point because it's, you know, why? I just never understood the whole advance thing.
I get it. Like, I totally understand how, you know, he's not just going to leave town, but he's just saying, like, you pay me 1 month at a time. I'm just asking for the week I've done.
Yeah, he's going to stop doing what he's doing. He's a very busy man. Very busy. Mm-hmm. Ingalls. Sounds like you're a sympathizer for the Ingalls.
A little bit.
Laura comes by to talk to her new beau.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, it's. I think it's still sweet how they are... I guess they've little... I'm not going to say they have crushes on each other. I just think that's just too much to expect.
I think that...
Sorry. Hi, Albert. Hello. Your pod gave you a whipping or was he too sick? You'll never know. I'm just kidding. I looked for you in church yesterday.
I don't go to church.
You believe in God, don't you?
You never did nothing for me.
Maybe you weren't deserving.
So... This is also an example of how the town kind of perceives women, I think. Mm-hmm. You have this little runt who's getting his shoes shined for a penny.
And we learn later that that's Lil Standish.
Yes. He's basically the prince of the town.
Mm-hmm.
He's a baron, actually.
I'm trying to work.
Yeah, he's trying to work.
And he shoves her, right?
Oh, yeah. And Laura's like, step up.
Like, the last person that did that to me, I don't know, she's going to pull an apple out of her dress and clock him in the head with it or something.
You want to play push and shove, you pick the wrong person.
And she just mushes him right in the face, and he does a 360, because he has his foot up on the box. And he does a 360 and falls right to the floor. I mean, it's this runt is not messed with a country girl ever. And probably will never again. And he went flying, which is just... Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing you're a girl.
Don't let that stop you.
Well, I got my school clothes on.
Me too.
Here's your penny.
That's it. I mean, it's...
You know what they say, though? Girls will be girls.
Girls will be girls.
Bringing it back.
But I think that maybe she messed with the wrong kid.
No, I don't think so. I think the opposite.
I'm just kidding.
I'll see you later.
See?
I'll be here.
Get a room, you two.
He's a pain. Mm-hmm. His pa's Mr. Standish. He owns the town.
He owns the town. It's just so crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Total corruption at its
own.
Small-scale corruption. I mean, it's large-scale for the town. I guess Winoka was a big city, though.
It's supposed to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be. The real one wasn't really the DeSmet, South Dakota. It actually had less people in it than Walnut Grove.
Hmm. Now, one thing that I think is kind of interesting is I also like Willie in this episode. I think you do, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love... And Nellie looks so beautiful in her school uniform. Like, blue is her color.
You know, it's such a nice uniform, too. It's really, whoever made this for them really nailed it. It looks exactly like what I would expect preppy jerks, rich kids to be wearing in the middle of Winoka.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Laura. How do you like our new uniforms?
Also, you had to think about this. The person who created these uniforms had to create a male and female version of them, you know, and they're perfect. I mean, his pants are the same material as her blouse. And the bow is really a very nice addition to the whole thing.
Tie. Very vibrant.
Yeah. They look like they are getting ready for the cover of the Montgomery Ward catalog.
We got them just this morning. We go to the Winoka school, you know.
So? We go to school.
I know. In a barn. Don't you think it's kind of funny? Children going to study in a stable?
No funnier than a jackass going to study in a school.
Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. And Willie being the honest audience that he is.
It just cracks up.
That's a good one, Laura.
We'll be late, Willie.
It's like, whose team are you on, Willie? And this, I love this little line from Willie.
I wish I was going to school with you. I hate wearing this tie. Willie, I'm coming.
Poor Willie.
I know. He's so pure. He's not even like, there's not an evil bone in his body. He just says what's on his mind.
He's just a class clown at all times. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to eat. Just eat and eat and eat. We get to a scene where Charles is saying, you know, hearing that Caroline wants to get a gift that's between $4 and $5, which is about $100,
$125. Mm-hmm.
So he needs to get the money, but obviously he was rebuffed. So what does he do? He goes and he pawns the fiddle or violin.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets into a little bit of a negotiation. And I think that it's hard to say. We don't know what kind of violin this is. Did you happen to look up violins in your catalog?
Oh, no, I didn't.
I did. And I was very surprised to find, let me just get to this little thing here, that in the Montgomery Ward catalog, anyway, they sold Stradivarius models, like actual high-end violins.
Mm-hmm.
So their highest-end model, which I'm going to say Charles did not have, would go for about $14. You could get like an entry level one for between $375 and let's say $650, but your average price for a good one is about $8.50.
Dang. Okay.
So we're looking, you know, roughly $200 nowadays, right?
Okay. I guess that sounds right.
I mean, but Stradivarius, you know, violins on a collectible market are worth several thousand, tens of thousands of dollars now, but I'm very surprised at the cost of these things back then, but $5, yeah, very fair price.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So he's not able to pawn it, but he's like, he has to sell it outright for that, but for $5.
Yeah. And you know, that hurts us. Like you're buying a present for Mary.
Honestly, I usually feel stronger towards the fiddle than I do for like Carrie. This episode aside, I love Carrie this episode, but like the fiddle is that much of a part of the story, a part of the family.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought that was Charles sacrificing.
Exactly.
I'll do anything for my family.
I know. That's why this episode is perfect.
Yeah, it's a really great episode. It lets you know. I think this series of episodes is really perfect for first time episodes.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Because it also introduces you to a modern Little House on the Prairie. So if you fall in love with these characters, you just go backwards and eliminate a few. Jonathan is really not in this episode very much at all. No,
he's always job hunting.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be having the best of luck. But go on.
Sorry, at the pawn shop, little Albert sneaks in and steals a lantern.
Yes.
And so Paw chases him down. We get a nice running Michael Landon hair flowing in the wind scene. And that's when we discover that Albert lives in a little hovel under the stairs.
And
so
I clipped that one. It's a little bit long, but I think it's worth listening to.
Totally.
Of him talking about where he lives.
This is my place.
And this is literally underneath like a porch. Like this is under the stairs. Mm-hmm.
By the coffin maker.
Whew. Yeah. And again, we go back to when he was trying to fish the dime out of the planks. He knows how to get a dime out of the planks. Come on.
What?
This is where I live.
What, you've run away from home?
No.
What's your name?
Albert.
Albert what?
Just Albert. I'm a bastard.
And now what kind of talk is that?
I'm yelling at him.
That's when they don't know who your pa is.
I know what the word means. I don't like it.
Me neither.
Who are you not to like something? You know, my pa. Get out of my dirt mound.
That was what they called me back at the home. That and a whole bunch of other things. That's why I ran away.
When'd you run away?
Oh, about 3 years now.
3 years? You've been living in this place for 3 years?
Sometimes here, sometimes other places. I do all right. I work a little bit, shining shoes. I make my way.
If you make your way, then what do you steal?
I don't think he really... I think he just collects money, really, because he doesn't have a reason to spend it. He steals his food.
Mm.
He's bringing in money with legitimately with shoe shining, and he also robs people here and there.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So, this kid, I mean, he might have more than $80.
Yeah.
I would say that Charles should roll him. Give me your money, a little...
I needed a light. I've been using candles, see? But they're not bright enough to read. I like reading.
Where's this place you ran away from?
Can't tell you.
Why not?
Because you'll send me back. I ain't going back.
Well, I could take you to the sheriff, you know that? There's a law against stealing.
Anything's better than going back. You do what you think is right.
And that's the last we ever see of Albert, because he takes him to the police. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. Lock him up.
Always the orphan trains. Actually, speaking of the orphan trains, it's a part of one of our Unsolved Mysteries Rewind episodes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Mark and I have a new podcast called Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, where we watch old Unsolved Mysteries episodes and give you updates.
What a good idea.
I think that sounds like
a good podcast.
And it's fun.
That's something I'll subscribe to.
I'd listen, yeah. And we just have fun and we crack each other up, but we talk about really serious stuff. So
yeah. It's
just really fun. If you guys like us and our rapport and us talking about 70s and 80s television shows, you're going to love Unsolved Mysteries Rewind.
And just be forewarned, Kim gets dark on Unsolved Mysteries Rewind.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, if you thought Be My Friend was something, ooh, we get real dark on that show.
But, all right, so back to 1878 again. We're not really sure what's going to happen here. We're kind of like, we have Charles, and he's like, I have my own problems. They give him a lantern. He takes back the lantern. And he finds out that the lantern was only $1. He gets his $5 for his violin. And in total Charles Ingalls fashion, because we cannot allow ourselves to change just because our environment changed. And that's the message I think he's trying to sell here. Oh. I'm still Charles Ingalls at the end of the day. And I'm still going to take 20% of what I'm pawning my favorite possession in life. And I'm going to give it to a kid I met 45 minutes ago.
I know. And it's like, I think it would be different if it weren't for Albert saying that he uses it to read. So it's for a good purpose. You know, it's not like he's like, oh, yeah, I get this because it's easier to rob people. Like, but yeah, Pa makes this huge sacrifice getting rid of his fiddle. And he's just like, oh, you are all my children. I will buy this for you and I will buy a hat for Mary.
On top of it, he invites him to their party with cake.
Yeah, cake and milk. We're going to have a party for my daughter, and you're more than welcome to come. So very nice.
You know, I heard that the original cake was supposed to be a magic school bus cake.
Is that right?
Yes. Because it was actually Mary's favorite cartoon growing up.
Oh, my God.
Amazing, right? And they were going to have like somebody dress up as Miss Frizzle, and you're going to have Miss Beetle come in. It was going to be a lot more fun, but they couldn't get the rights.
Dream of dreams.
All right. So... So yeah, he invites him to the party. I just think it's really, really sweet. And we're automatically falling in love with this dopey kid, Albert, who doesn't have a last name.
The cutest thing in the world. And he's so tiny because he said, I ran away 3 years ago. I was like, so what? He was six. So I looked it up, but he's actually 12 in these, but he is a teeny little 12.
Little. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how tall he is. He could be somewhat tall, but my kid being 11, he definitely would tower over this kid.
I mean, you look at him compared to Laura, and isn't Melissa Gilbert only like 5'2", 5'3", or something like that? And he comes up to like her chest.
Well, I just know that she's about a half a pint.
Well played.
So here we go. We have the fern in the scene. I love that fern. Fern alert. It was so funny when you wrote that. So here we go. We're going to talk about, hopefully this plays the correct clip. I'll just let it speak for itself, maybe.
Here you go. You don't even ask me $4.
Oh, that's fine. I made some more tips this morning.
How'd you get those tips, Caroline? It's like, I don't want to think about it.
Oh, God. No, it's horrible.
Because she's got her best, like, you know, bonnet on. And it's just, I don't want to think about this.
Good. Did he mind giving you the advance?
No, not at all. It's fine.
Maybe he's not so bad after all. You know, there's good in everyone.
I suppose.
It's just, I suppose.
Because Pa's lying and saying that Standish gave it to him when really he had to sell his fiddle. So Ma knows nothing about that because she would totally not let him sell his fiddle.
And this is, I'm going to guess this is kind of all the money they have right now.
Oh yeah, Ma has a dollar, but they get food and rent, let's not forget.
All right, can I talk about their finances?
Let's chat. I got my Excel up and running.
Is it really the best decision to spend the majority of the cash that you have on hand on a gift for somebody?
No.
For an unnecessary gift?
For like a fancy hat. It's so preposterous.
What are you doing in the city? Why did you leave Walnut Grove? Is the real big question, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. And like, I could understand if they were like, this $5 is all that the blind school needs to be up and running and fully functional or something that is important, but just to get Marion
like a bell or something
superficial. Yeah. It's just to get her a fancy hat, like a real fancy hat that Caroline apparently has a great discount on, but it's so unnecessary that it's like, why would you even consider this? You have 1,000 other children.
Right. And Mary has a hat.
Yeah. And it's a baller straw hat.
All right, I'm not going to make blind jokes. All right. So, they could have given her any hat. It has to look beautiful, of course. Mary's a beautiful girl. And they want to do the right thing. But I just think them being there is more important to everybody than some hat. So
Mary's the whole reason we're even here in the first place. Like, we all followed Mary out because she had a job at the blind school.
And I do have a question about how this ends and how much it costs to buy out of this problem. I'm just wondering what your opinion is on that. So here we have a 23-year-old man with Mary. And
in her room while she's on her bed. A little scandalous.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't seem to mind, of course. I mean, she's in love with Adam and Adam is in love with her.
I love them so much.
Yeah, they have googly eyes for each other, and they both smell like vanilla and brute. So
once he gets his nerve up,
whoops,
Finster.
Ah, my! I have to get this whole thing. All right.
You look beautiful.
Which is, of course, weird, but everybody wants to hear this. It doesn't matter if you can physically see me. Of course, he's touching her skin. And in his representation, she's beautiful no matter what. But every woman wants to hear from, and, you know, I'm not saying just women. Every woman wants the love of their lives to sincerely say to them that they're beautiful. Because that's the way they're seen. And it's just, it's one of those moments. And it's a really, very sweet moment. And is Melissa Sue Anderson 16 here?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
16 years old, huh?
That's where things get a little creepy.
They're so hot. I think they have the hottest chemistry.
I read in somebody's book that what was going to be written is that 10 years later, they'd still be playing this little game. 16 years old, huh?
26 years old.
You'd best be getting married soon, young lady. Or they'll be calling you a spinster.
Now, we do call Mary Ingalls a spinster.
Yeah, sadly, she never got married.
What a terrible thing to... call somebody.
It is sad, though. Like, I think part of the reason I'm so invested in Mary and Adam is because I know the real Mary never got this. And wouldn't it be nice if she felt a love and had a child, even though obviously it's horrible.
A hypothetical, but,
Yeah, wouldn't it be so nice instead of just having to, like, be passed off from sister to sister until she died? Like, that just bums me out.
Now, I had an aunt, Aunt Edna, my great aunt Edna, my mother's aunt. Mm. And Edna was considered the spinster of the family. But she was one of these, like, crazy, you know, she always had a boyfriend, always was out on the town, always made her own money. Ooh. And she was one of these super modern people. Throughout like the 30s and 40s, and she was also a lot older than my grandmother, and she ended up living with my grandmother. You know, she had one of those relationships. And my grandmother and her had this big house, and it was like the sweet old ladies who lived together type of thing. Yeah, it was Ethel and Edna, and it was a very, very sweet type of thing, but it was always. Even when I was a kid, my family would always talk about how, oh, it's so sad Edna never got married and never this and never that. And I just think it's one of the meanest things you could say behind somebody's back. Because it was her choice. Like, I mean, she's had gentlemen callers.
Sounds like she had a hell of a time.
She had a great time. She,
yeah.
When she passed away, she had stocks and trusts and finances were all amazing and she left a legacy, and I'm talking about her today. I really consider her one of the stronger women I know in my life. And, you know, I didn't get to know her that long. I only knew her until maybe I was 11 or 12, and she passed away. But she was just a perfect example of a woman that you don't hear too much about.
But, no, she sounds awesome.
Yeah, she was a really cool woman. I'll dig up a picture, and you can see she weighs about 80 pounds wet. Awesome. And that was but, you know, it just kind of reminds me of, women don't have to, you know, go that way, but it does make us kind of wonder about the ones who were kind of in the real Mary Ingalls world, you know, and she she went down this way because of her disability, unfortunately.
I mean, they always call Miss Beadle like an old maid, and she's like 30.
It's a beautiful woman, too, and it's just like...
I know.
So crazy, but all right. Yeah. So let's get back to this flirtation going on.
Ooh, don't mind if we do.
That Andy's out the window watching it happen. Pa's listening in. The dog's like on the bed, you know. Nobody knows. The baby's just, you know, climbing like a dresser. It's tipping.
Maybe some handsome gentleman will ask me.
I'm sure he will. Once he gets his nerve up.
Can their eyes be bluer is my question.
Oh, my God. Oh, kiss.
Yes, and they are. They're smooching and smooching. Sounds like a kiss to me. The best thing that could be said here is, I'm going to go downstairs. You brush your teeth.
Oh, God.
And meet me downstairs. Just woke up, huh?
Let's go.
Oh, wait, what was that? I'm sorry. I talked over his little...
Let's go, birthday girl.
Oh, boy. They have that, like, cutesy thing going on, right? Like, 16 years old. Oh, maybe a man will blah, blah, blah. And, come on, birthday girl.
I think they're really into each other. I'm talking
in life, yeah.
Lisa Sue. Yeah.
They make a good couple, right?
Yeah, handsome couple.
You've heard it here first. It's a fact that we cannot back up.
Oh, absolutely not.
So yeah, that's about it. And then the I even wrote get a room. So they're setting up a surprise. We have Harriet for comic relief, of course. It's Harriet can do no wrong in my eyes. Unless she does the real horrible stuff, like when she listens in on people's phone calls and tells them about other, you know, their past marriages and stuff like that.
You know, she is who she is.
Yeah.
And that's all that she is. And you just love her for it.
Yeah. And people have conflicts with her, and that's okay. And
yeah.
This is one of the reasons she sometimes just doesn't listen to her own mouth, and that's what we love about the character.
I'll be okay. Oh my, what a funny little cake.
What a funny little cake.
Yeah, she sees nothing wrong with what she's saying. She doesn't even mean it as a slam. She's just like, oh, you tried.
Right. It's kind of like when you go on YouTube and you type in, you know, fail bakery type of things. You know, yeah. And it's like you have like the super nice cake and then it's like the train wreck that I would make. And but this is, there's nothing wrong with this cake. It's just like a normal, cute little cake with 1,000 candles on it.
It looks fine.
They didn't have to put so many candles, though. These candles seem like a little bit of a hazard at the end.
You'll, yeah.
Kind of gross. But, all right, she gets corrected, though, pretty quickly.
Harriet. Huh? Oh, well, what I meant was, what a quaint little cake.
Harriet, be quiet.
I know it's hard for you, Mrs. Olson, but you won't have to be quiet for long.
And even that, I take a screenshot of this little thing. So, we get the snort from Laura. And we get the look of death from Harriet. It's the funny, like, the only thing better here would be if she grabbed Laura's head and shoved it into the cake. That might have been a pretty fun little moment. Just giggling away. Meanwhile.
Ooh, it's about to get tense, people.
Yeah, the worst happens, you know. Yeah. It's. I guess I should just let it play because it's one of these things where it's, let's pick on the vulnerable.
Yeah. So Adam and Mary are walking from the blind school to the restaurant.
Yeah. And these guys are jaywalking across the street. That's another thing I just do want to mention. People are just driving. Like, we brought it up a little bit in the last episode, but there are no rules, and this really kind of gives you a little bit of perspective. And, wow, you know, I complain a lot about stop signs and asphalt and stop lights and all that kind of good stuff and laws. Mm. But when there's no rule, there's chaos. And this town is just chaos. There's no one. Yeah. It's really, I'm surprised there's not more terrible stuff going on.
Yeah.
Hey, Glover. Look what that blind school teacher's got with him.
Even that, look at what.
Exactly.
Like, it's just, ugh.
Come on.
Like, you guys have mothers, right? Like, it's, like, this is the way you want people treating your mother or sister. Like, that's, this is the best you got.
It's horrible.
And this guy's afro is on point. He's even got the lamb chops growing on and the stash. he actually looks pretty awesome. And, you know, I noticed that Adam and Mary could use a shoe shine. Just
interesting.
Very dusty. Very dusty.
Excuse me, friend. Didn't see you coming. You probably don't know it, boy, but it's a good-looking woman there.
If you'll excuse us, we're late.
Good for Adam.
Like, oh, you know, Adam is a man. Yeah, he is not taking any of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, he might have a disability here, but he's a man, like you said.
Just want to introduce myself as all. My name's Harlan, ma'am.
And he does the wave of the hand in front of her face.
Oh, he's such a jerk.
It's just,
Hey, Glover. She's blind, too. Even a guy as ugly as you got a chance with her.
Will you please let us?
He just laughs. He gets called ugly, and you're right.
Go. Just trying to be a good neighbor. Just trying to help the young lady get where she's going.
Adam looks disgusted. He's just like, I don't know what you look like, but you were an ugly man.
Yeah, exactly. And he probably smells. He's getting all in his face and being so gross.
He's
like,
smoking
just rude,
a stogie,
gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, and Charles just goes, Holland! Holland! Unbuttoned, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know things are going to be going down. Now he's got his nice white shirt on. Oh, white suspenders. It's going down.
Adam, I want you and Mary to go in the hotel, all right?
No, I don't know if it was really portrayed before, but Harlan's like the bouncer.
Yeah, Harlan's the bouncer of the saloon. And so Pa's like, take your girl inside, which honestly I thought was like a little emasculating to Adam. But Adam's like, you got it.
take this opportunity to get away from these idiots.
Yeah, and Mary's like, Pa, please come inside. Don't fight him. And he just like strokes her face. He's like, it's all right. This little butt kick won't take long.
It is a little emasculating, but being that he's sightless, I would just, he's got to roll with it.
Yeah.
Especially... He, you know, he's hearing the seriousness of the situation maybe as well.
Oh, he knows it's going to go down. I think both of them do.
That's why they left him and didn't let people know right away. 5 minutes later, he's like, I need help.
I'll be in a minute.
Pa, you come with us.
I'll be in a minute, Sarah.
Come on, Mary.
Fine, look, a little blind girl you got there, Ingalls.
All right, now.
Oof.
Even if she's not blind, right? Like, let's just take that off the table. You don't talk this way about a man's daughter.
He's like, I'd like to break me off a piece of that. Like,
that's the only thing missing at this point, right?
Yeah, your 16-year-old is good to go.
And what's coming is exactly what should come.
Fine, look at him.
And, you know, he gives him the southpaw lefty hook. And in, I guess, this type of, this group of people, in their fashion, they gang up on Charles.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a fair fight.
Okay, everybody, here they come. Shh, now be quiet.
Ma! Ma!
Here! Mary? What's wrong? What is it?
Pa's outside with some men. I asked him to come in, but he wouldn't. Ma, I'm afraid.
Nels, come on. The rest of you, stay here.
Nels, what's he going to do, pay off somebody? Not, but we know Nels is badass, right? I mean,
yeah, he's a boxer or something, right?
He knows how to shoot a gun.
Yeah, he does.
The Sylvia episode.
And Barn Burner.
Yeah. That's the episode that I'm thinking of with... him with the shotgun through the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want Nels on my team. There's no doubt about it.
Sure.
So, yeah, Jonathan's pissed off because the bottom line is they beat the crap out of Charles.
Oh, he is bleeding, like, profusely from the head. And I have to say, this is some pretty real-looking blood. I think they did a good job. Usually it's on TV, it's, like, a little too bright, but this was a good hue.
And his face is starting to swell up, and it's disgusting.
Yeah. And they're like, put him in that trough. Like, he won't get an infection.
Now, Jonathan's just, he's had a tough time finding a job. He's really angry. He's a fighter to begin with, right? I mean, this is a huge guy. He's ready for a fight. So he's like, you know what? You might have started this, but I'm going to finish it. So he seeks these guys out who are just kind of enjoying a cold one.
Yeah, with Charles' blood all over them.
It's just a wash up.
I think you two just beat up on a friend of mine.
That's right. Why don't you move along before you have trouble, too?
You're the bouncer here, ain't you? Why don't you get to bouncing?
Not the worst line I've ever heard. Wait, I want to just play this real quick. He goes to punch him, and he goes flying into the piano, which is always funny to me.
Yeah.
Jonathan's a good, like, 6 inches taller than this guy, too. So he gives him the bear hug, you know? When I was a kid, the bear hug was the move.
I've never seen this before. He picks Harlan up and is hugging him to death.
This was how you could really hurt somebody this way, because you're crushing them.
Yeah, I actually thought when we see Harlan that he starts bleeding from the mouth, and I'm like, that's not great, but I think it's from the punch earlier.
Probably. But you can break, you can compress ribs like this, and puncture organs. You can genuinely hurt somebody like this. And this is a move that if you're being overpowered by somebody and you can somehow get your arm around them, it's amazing how strong as people we are and how painful it can be if you can just grab your own hand and create this compression on somebody. Mm-hmm. So, not that this is a self-defense class, but it's one of these moves that, I don't know, it was really big in the 70s, I remember. I think it was like a move that you would see in television more often.
Oh, okay.
And probably kids would do it to each other and get hurt, so they said, let's start writing that out of episodes.
It seems like something my sisters would do to me when I was growing up.
Read the sign and go run down there, and then run back up here so we can crush you. oh, poor kid. So he gets a job. This is what's funny. He beats up this guy to a pulp, really.
Yeah, the regular bouncer.
And it's Stanish or Span... Like, I can not...
Standish. Standish. Like, you're not sitting, you're not standing. Standish.
Just standishing. So, he's just sitting there playing cards. He is unfazed that there's a fight breaking out at about 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah, this is just a regular afternoon.
Yeah. Like, all right, good. You didn't make too much of a mess type of thing. So,
I'll make $40 a month.
It's good. I know you're a man of your word.
So he's going to leave Charles alone and all this kind of stuff.
Hey, you there.
Now, look, you're a friend of his. Don't try and be no hero.
Take it easy. Take it easy. You live here?
Yeah.
Got a job?
No.
Want to make $40 a month? Replace Harlan? Start tomorrow.
All right.
Queens over 10.
So that was interesting. Here's the thing, though. So Charles and Caroline, are they making about $1,200 together, roughly? And he's getting $1,000, or roughly, you know, $40, just him.
But he's also not getting room and board.
Oh, good point, good point.
For like five people. So, yeah. But I thought that was kind of a kooky disparity between the two incomes. I thought, wow, that's really not as little as I thought he would be making, but they got those perks.
Yeah. And, you know, Jonathan's a big, huge guy, too, so.
Oh, yeah. He's a good bouncer. Like, when he first walks up, he's like, hey, I think you guys hurt my friend. They just look up for, like, a foot.
Yeah. So we have, they check on Charles, who's just kind of, and really in kind of bad shape.
Oh, yeah.
Nels is kind of nursing him. And Jonathan is saying, oh, I think I got me a job. So they go back to the party.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
This frosting smells wonderful.
Something's wrong.
Why are they back?
Mary's the only one who's really kind of concerned.
Yeah, everyone's trying to be like, it's okay, it's your birthday. We're not worried about that.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong. Now, Jonathan told us to wait inside, and that's what we're going to do. There, you see?
Now, as soon as Caroline sees Charles, she does the big, thing, and he covers her mouth. And
oh, it's such a good dad move, because obviously Mary can't see, so we're not even going to let her know that I was in a fight, but he is messed up.
Yes. And this is a real selfless act. It really is.
I'm sorry I'm late.
Eating bread, Pa? Sounds like you have bread in your mouth.
Come on, sit down. Pa, I was so afraid you'd gotten into a fight with those two men.
You don't have to worry about me. I'm a farmer, not a fighter.
You can say that again.
Chime in.
Too soon. Too soon.
I got a job.
Yeah,
he's so just great. Happy. He's like, I'm going to have a drink.
Mary wants to open her presents.
Of course she does.
Let's get to open it.
Let's not have cake first. I mean, it's what we're here for. Cake. That doesn't look like a hat box, though. It looks like a 3-foot subway hero.
I have to be honest. I know what's in the package. Ma and I talked it over, and well, I hope you understand, Pa.
So, what's in the box? Do you want to?
It's the fiddle.
How much do you think they lost by having to buy that back?
I'm going to say, because we see Ma talking to the pawn shop guy, I'm going to say that she moved him with this tale of how good their family is that they got it back at cost.
No way. No.
Well, Ma only had a dollar on her.
Yeah. She might have borrowed money from the Olsons, or it would have been kind of funny if she walked in with like a platter of biscuits or something.
Oh, God, I just pictured Ma, like, putting on the choker and lowering the top. It's real somber.
The toilet water, you know.
Yeah.
The lemon verbena behind the ears.
That would be truly, truly tragic.
Oh, no. Ma, no, not Caroline.
Oh. I know what you were trying to do, but...
You fool?
But the greatest present you could give me...
Do you hear the sad violin in the background?
Oh, nice touch. No.
Just to be able to hear you play this fiddle on my birthday. It always has been. I love you, Pa.
I'm over here, Mary. I think it's very also selfless for her to say, well, you know what? I cannot let him give up this artifact that's a part of our family, and really sacrifice this gift that she really doesn't need. That's the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. But as a woman, you I guess there are certain things back then you would get. You would have nicer hats, and this is something that we see more and more and more. And her,
well, she's got to land a bow.
I think she's got one that she's not going to be able to get rid of. Hopefully he's a nice guy. And you know, they're kind of passing it along like it's a religious artifact, like returning it to its rightful owner.
And it's almost like a curtain call, because we're going through every single person and they're each passing it down to him, except for Carrie. Carrie can't touch it.
But it is, it's very ceremonial. It's very sweet. Also, Willie and the Olsons didn't go anywhere near it.
Yeah, that's true. They're on the other side of the table. Yeah.
I love you too, darling.
I'm going to say that Karen Grossley has lipstick on. I can't really say for sure, but her lips seem a little redder than normal. And that she might have made herself up a little bit when she got that violin. There's nothing wrong with being a beautiful woman.
Yeah, you get it. Girls will be girls.
Girls will be girls. That should be the title of this episode.
I'm trying so hard to get that to started.
You know what? Hashtag girls will be girls. Forever, yeah. Get Alison Arngrim to get started on that. She would love that.
Ooh, yeah, really? She probably would.
You know what? I think we have to create a meme with Nellie Olson with Girls Will Be Girls.
I will have it by the end of this day.
All fights, everything physical between girls on Little House should have the hashtag Girls Will Be Girls.
Let's light the candles.
And this is a little bit sad because he walks in and he goes, you know, Ingles, clean those windows. No, that would be very sad. But we think the episode's over, but it's not. A little straggler walks in. We have a little bit of a cute little boy who's going to go on and steal our hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Albert something. Albert the hobo. I'm just going to let it play through because my times are all way off. If you listen very closely, you can hear my dogs outside of my yard barking.
There. They're all
late. Now, hold it 1 second now. Don't make that wish yet. Come on in, you join us, boy.
Albert would, it'd be funny if Albert's like, what the hell happened to you?
Yeah, he doesn't know everybody's being quiet. Interesting.
Harlan's probably Albert's dad.
Oh, that's interesting.
Jeepers.
Come on.
Albert can use a little shoe shine too.
Irony.
Come on.
There you go. Have a seat right here. Everybody, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. His name is Albert.
Hi, Albert.
I spent a little time at Albert's place today. I thought I'd return the favor to him.
You're just in time, Albert. Mary's going to make a wish.
Oh, I almost forgot my card.
Now,
it's in Braille.
Uh-huh.
That's lovely. It's in Braille. I think it's so sweet. But the candles are lit.
I know. I know. I if you look at Melissa Sue, she has her hand like on the back of the card. And I think that's like, am I getting close to the candles or not? Because I was waiting for that thing to go up.
Yeah, this is like take two, I think. And it's like the first one went up in flames.
Maybe.
And her hair is so short.
Yeah, for Mary. Not as short as it gets, but yeah, it is pretty short.
Oh, no. It does. I don't like it when it goes any shorter than this.
It's so hideous. Yeah, yeah. It's not a good
Adam,
book.
Adam, loan me a book and a Braille writer.
Oh, Adam, you're a keeper.
Mm-hmm. Dear Mary, you know I'm not good at words the way you are, but I just wanted you to know how much I love you. I don't think I ever told you that. I guess.
I disagree. She said that a number of times. We have evidence.
Kids just don't.
And we get the camera pans at everybody's reaction, starting with Merlin Olsen and his big happy face.
Don't say it to each other. Well, you're 16 now, so you're not a kid anymore.
Albert's like, there's a lot of drama in your family, isn't it? It's a pretty crazy family. And who are these people, the rich people?
Yeah, I was told there would be cake.
And it's like, Harry, it's like, aren't you the boy who works for the church?
Oh, yeah, Harry does know him.
Yeah. So it'd be funny if she's like, here's a quarter for the church.
You can say it. You're the best sister in the whole world. Laura. I love you.
The candles are lit. This whole time. It's reckless. You know, you're waiting for something.
You
bad to
two don't stop that hugging and kissing. You're going to have nothing but wax for icing on that cake. Now make your wish.
I'm sorry, I just drooled all over myself. Is that my tooth?
Love you.
And it does seem like Pa's getting worse as this scene goes on.
Yeah, more swollen.
Yeah, it's like a Rocky thing. By the end, he's like, oh my God, what happened to you?
I don't have anything to wish for. I have everything in the world. And here in this room.
And there are scorch marks from the candles on the frosting.
Yeah, I was thinking that's probably like a whipped sugary frosting, and you could tell that it's like sizzling. It's like black and sizzling from the candles.
It's probably not even a cake. It's probably like some stones or something that they just put the frosting on top of.
Probably.
Then again, maybe they would have a cake. You know, they would grab one from craft services and just say, all right, let's give us, you know, a non-professional looking cake.
When can we cut the cake? I'm hungry.
Seriously. And Pa's like perfectly in tune. Doesn't even need to tune that thing. It stays in tune. It's amazing. I wish I knew more about the fiddle and the brand of it, who, you know, where it came from and everything. I don't, I'm sure we can dig it up with the one that's being used as a prop. Did the real Charles Ingalls play the fiddle?
Oh yeah. That's like a huge part. And the fiddle is like in one of the museums and you can go and see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big deal. Pa playing the fiddle.
So I do remember it kind of now. I have to go back and read these books.
They're so good.
Yeah. It's really been like a very, very long time since I've read them. And I'm just kind of, I really want to look into the make and model of what he was playing. And it could be just something he built.
I mean, absolutely.
They sold kits. I mean, it wasn't, he still sold kits. But let's listen to a little bit of fake Michael Landon playing the fiddle. Now, you're a Little House in the Prairie watcher in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you're ever going to see Albert again?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
probably
right?
Not. Yeah,
there's
probably
no
not.
Way I'm going to see this. This kid will just vanish. He'll just go and live under the stairs. We'll never hear about him again.
Or maybe like as long as we're in the town, but there's no way he's going back to the prairie.
How many more episodes do they stay in the town?
I want to say like, I think they say like 5 or 6 overall in the town before they go back.
I really want to look back as to and see what the reviews were for this, whether they considered it kind of a last ditch effort to boost the ratings, which apparently kind of worked, I guess. I'm not sure if this was that. Maybe this was the show was doing well. Let's do something different.
They so strayed from normal Little House in this season and this episode, mainly these last two episodes we've reviewed, but Albert is one of the best additions to Little House. Like, he is such a in-depth character, and he is just this little ball of love, and he's so cute, and he is an amazing addition. Normally, when they add, like, the Olivia Huxtables, you know, it's like, oh, boy, this is Jump the Shark, but with Albert, he's so good.
Yeah, it's, I'm looking here, and, we get another two-part in the same season, the There's No Place Like Home.
That's when they go back.
Yeah, I think I reviewed that years ago, and I think it's due for another redo. If you're up for that in the near future, I think it would be kind of interesting to kind of follow up with those two episodes.
Yeah, that's where we get back, and Mr. Hansen's not doing so well. The town's all decrepit.
Oh, this is really strange because I just reviewed Fagin with somebody a few days ago.
Fagin is so good, yeah.
And that is the episode that follows There's No Place Like Home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's such a good one.
But they're already established in Fagin.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationship isn't, though. That's a good, interesting. That's really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I sometimes regret not doing the episodes in order.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to see the chronology of it all.
Yeah, it's interesting. And like you said, the relationship's not fully established, but they're definitely back home.
But yeah, I all in all, I think this, I said it before, I think that this is a great first couple episodes for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves a little bit on a cliffhanger, right? Sort of. Not really.
Yeah.
But
like a happy one, like, oh, everything's right with the world, Mary crying out of her beautiful eyes, and it's so good.
And then even with this one, it's like you have the core members of the future of Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
All the players are at that table. Of course, it would be nice to have Doc in there and Reverend Alden, but, you know,
always.
We will see them soon enough.
Yeah.
But there's always the beautiful, wonderful comic relief of the Olsons and the Garveys.
Mm-hmm.
Garvey's were really, really taking a back seat, though, in these episodes.
I agree. Yeah, there wasn't. They're a little more drama. Like, the Olsons are comic relief, but I feel like it's a little heavier with the Garveys.
Yeah, if you're going to sell a reality show, you want to spend the day with the Olsons, not with the Garveys.
Oh, yeah.
Although the Garveys have their own drama when they get that phone. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.